stunning environments that surround us.
Presents a song by Sal Priyadi. Salmantyo Ashrisky Priyadi, better known as Sal Priyadi, is an Indonesian male singer, songwriter, and actor. The singer, who was born on April 30, 1992, released a new song entitled Gala Bunga Matahari or Sunflower Gala on August 8, 2024. This song is included in his album, which was released on April 30, 2024, entitled Markers and Suspense Flash Disk. Until now, the song is often used to describe the longing for the loved ones who have passed away. However, according to Sal Priyadi, the song actually also wants to encourage those who are left behind to keep living their life at best. Well, listener, here is Sal Priyadi with the song Gala Bunga Matahari.
Mungkinkah kau mampir hari ini Bila tidak mirip kau, jadilah bunga matahari yang tiba-tiba mekar di taman. Meski bicara dengan bahasa tumbuhan, ceritakan padaku bagaimana tempat tinggalmu yang baru. Adakah sungai-sungai itu benar-benar dilintasi dengan air susu? Juga badanmu tak sakit-sakit lagi? Kau dan orang-orang di sana muda lagi. Semua pertanyaan temukan jawaban. Hati yang gembira sering kau tertawa. Benarkah orang bilang ia memang suka bercanda? Mungkinkah kau mampir hari ini? Bila tidak mirip kau, jadilah bunga matahari yang tiba-tiba mekar di taman. Meski bicara dengan bahasa tumbuhan, kau ceritakan padamu bagaimana hidupku tanpamu. Masih ada di setiap waktu. Kadang aku menangis bila aku perlu. Tapi aku sekarang sudah lebih lucu. Jadilah menyenangkan seperti katamu. Jalani hidup dengan penuh sukacita. Dan percaya kau ada di hatiku selamanya. Janji kita pastikan bertemu lagi.
Believe it or not, listener, this song during its live performance, the live performance of Gala Bunga Matahari is have different vibe, and it is more tear jerking than this one. Let's say it's more bittersweet for a lot of people, and even at some concerts, from listening to upbeat music, they also cry when they listen to these songs. And of course, it will be quite painful if you don't have a home to return to, or you cannot go home during the homecoming period, especially ahead of Idul Fitr if you are celebrating it. And of course, even if it is not Eid, at some other special days, you might want to go back home. But it's not only about coming back home, seeing your relatives, or maybe visiting your parents. But apparently, in Indonesia, homecoming is also about finding out the root of yourself, and then from that, seeking wise to build the hometown. And here is what is stated by the lecturer at Muhammadiyah University of Jakarta, Debbie Avianti.
I think some of the Gen Z are also interested in building the or creating some community development projects after their parents bring them to their hometown, because they see some of the people in their hometowns need some improvement maybe. in some techniques of agriculture or maybe in making some small enterprise, especially if the young people who are really, really right now not really interested in being employees, they want to start their own sort of jobs for others. They're really keen in opening up some businesses in the villages, and especially if they see some unique products or maybe some potential commodities to be developed in their hometown. I think parents should put in some seeds of interest to the children so they will remember about how their potential can grow up and also can be shared to others in the village.
And more about the conversation titled Mudik the Great Homecoming of Indonesia is available on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia.
And we are still talking about the homecoming itself, listeners. So based on the data from our transportation ministry, it seems that from across transportations, air, land and sea, they have recorded some 70,000 people traveling across the country per March 23rd, 2025. And the Public Communication Bureau head of the Transportation Ministry, Budi Raharjo, said that from 70,000 people who joined the free homecoming program, apparently the first batch is like 21,000 passengers taking the land transportation. So it seems that for the homecoming people, there are a lot of choices for them, not only using their own vehicle or even buying their own ticket, but also the government prepares their free homecoming program. And in here, they've recorded like 70,000 people joining this program. And the program is open for the land one is since March the 10th until 23rd. And then apparently they are not only, I mean, in this listener, it's not only about the people, but they can bring their own private vehicles too to be carried out, like motorcycles and other things. And reported from antarins.com, it seems that 257 units of motorcycle has been registered for their free homecoming program, and this is also part of effort to reduce the people who want to go back to the hometown by using these two-wheeled vehicles. And then besides the land transportation and even with motorcycle that is taking the train, there's also the free ferry or even ship tickets, in which they have like 48,000 tickets quota, and has been realized like 75% of it, or 37,000. And the free homecoming program through the ship or even ferry will still be open as long as the ticket is still there. And this is like an indie song from Indonesia. We have Puncak Pohon Bandung, or the peak of the top of a tree in Bandung by Tira Bongs.
Kan ku Sarang Hawu Beach, which is located in Sukabumi, has a unique, exotic and natural beauty. This beach is one of the famous beaches in Sukabumi, with the distinctive beauty of waves cheering into the sea. In addition, this beach has a mystical history that has been well known and recognized by the local residents. If you come to have a holiday in this location, you will be presented with a beautiful view, which is a soft stretch of sand with brownish colors, cool air, and big waves that hit the cliffs. All of those add to the charms of the beauty of this Karang Hawu Beach. According to the story of the local people, this beach is named Karang Hawu because there are holes in the cliffs or rocks so that it will look like a stove. Hawu, which in Sundanese means stove, so this beach is named Karang Hawu. In addition, this beach is also famous for its myth, in which it is said that the cliffs that jut into the sea is Nyai Rorokidul's throne, the ruler of the South Sea. The length of this coastline reaches 4 kilometers. If you are at the top of the hill, you can enjoy a clear view of Karang Hawu Beach. The view of the high seas until the big waves hitting the rocks is a very beautiful scenery here. Uniquely, in this location there is a simple bridge, which was made by a bamboo, so you can take a walk through the flow of seawater to another end of the reef. Taking a walk along the beach with the occasional play with the crashing waves, or even sitting relaxedly while enjoying the waves and sunshine, is a fun activity on this beach.
Ada satu bagian pada perempuan yang sangatlah peka bila disentuh oleh lelaki. Di manakah bagian itu? Maukah kau tahu? Karena bagian itu hanya untuk lelaki yang cukup umur. Karena bagian itu sungguh sangat bisa buat perempuan dimabuk kepayang, dimabuk asmara. Di manakah bagian itu? Maukah kau tahu? Hatinya dengan sangat hati-hati bila ingin rebut, karena bagian itu sungguh sangat bisa buat perempuan dimabuk kepayang, dimabuk asmara. Di manakah bagian itu? Maukah kau tahu?
To the Rock with Rahasia Perempuan, or the Secrets of Women, and after this you'll be listening to a story about PDC.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dan jaya di lautan para
those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium where the Indonesian people were Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Kalau istilah PVC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar tahun 1830-an, 40-an.
Here at around the 19th century, in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or cat catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Pinisi sail.
ke-19, jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar penisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam apa namanya ya? Cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya. Pada tahun
the term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, the question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the reports of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari tolompong, there was palari tongpong. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Pinisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Pinisi. Jadi, istilah Pinisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Pinisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
people's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word penisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long. But with the motorization and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Pinisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver, and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Pinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Pinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Pontobahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Pinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi, 85 dari Pinisi.
At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied it yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman, who was watching us as a witness who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. And he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called Pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Pinisi di Banan ini asalnya dari Ara, dulu pun Pak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Pinisi ship was built originally from Ara Bulukumba, Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience, and it is recognized throughout the world.
Tanpa ada bilang teknik bagaimana, dan di segi pengalaman saja, diakui oleh seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan pensinya 1 tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia pantai Anjuran.
With the penalty, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half, has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, Ironwood, BT wood and thick wood. It only needs 3 types of wood. In terms of its strength, in the sea you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship films. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of thick wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang sisa untuk pasir tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Minas, papan sil papannya disusun, keset hasil. Sampai
tadi. The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, and the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali apa? Tali sering. Tali tian. Nampak belakang. Baru pasang layarnya. Begitu.
The system and calculation for making finicky sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli.
That's the formula. So this is how we are ship experts. One di Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, weight, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any riding above 10 meters or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu
there is one thing that is absent of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. Kialan boats or whatever boats were called Finisi in the 70s were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Arab people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Arab pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
Building a boat is very, very complicated thing. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 tons more than a sailboat. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not fail. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it's created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not fail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we all taught how to calculate the curve F from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only finicky.
Cara dan mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva ini tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Dan hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit. Sehingga bukan menjadi ini bahwa kesunsian khalaya kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya? Memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini sih doang.
Yeah.
confuse the Gen Z. It's T-Rex, a ska group band from Indonesia, and I believe that even out there, they forget the ska. That people say ska has been dead a long time ago, but of course it's still relatable, and I wish that people who misses the ska will like this song by T-Rex. And more from Indonesia still coming on Vionis.id and all the application RRI Digital.
Kambawe is a typical snack from Bhutan. The snack is not sold in public. Generally, kambawe is served during family events or festivity, for example during Idul Fitri or the celebration of Muslims. Kambawe is cooked in large portion and it will be given by a host to his or her neighbors. The host will also feed the guests who come to his or her house. This tradition symbolizes the hospitality of the host. To appreciate the kindness and hospitality of the host, the guests will voluntarily give the host some money. Making kambawe is simple. Firstly, we must clean the corn husks thoroughly. We need to separate the corn from its husk thoroughly. The husk will be used to mold the cake. Afterwards, we must prepare the main ingredients such as 50 baby corns, brown sugar, and grated coconut. Thirdly, we must grate the baby corns or blend them smoothly. After completing the batter, the next step is to mix the corn batter with brown sugar and grated coconut. Then mix the batter evenly. After that, pour the batter into the husks. Lastly, steam the kambawe. Finally, kambawe is ready to serve. Kambawe is rich in taste. The taste can be savory and sweet. Enjoying kambawe will be more flavor with chili paste and fish soup.
Ribuan hari aku menunggumu, jutaan lagu tercipta untukmu. Apakah kau akan terus begini? Masih adakah celah di hatimu yang masih bisa kutuk singgahi? Cobalah aku kapan engkau mau. Kesejukan yang kau rasa. Coba keluar di terik siang, ingatlah bintang yang kau sapa, maka kehangatan yang kau rasa.
itu aku.
Of Indonesia with the news. The Indonesian Ministry of Industry recommended 3 policies to strengthen the utility of the coconut processing industry. The Ministry's Director General for Agro-Industry, Putu Juliardika, in Jakarta on Sunday said the 3 recommendations include a moratorium of tax for whole coconut export, standardization of ingredient price beneficial for farmers and industry owners, and moratorium benefits for farmers. Putu said this should be implemented as soon as possible, considering raw material scarcity has affected this coconut processing industry. Indonesian National Food Agency Bapanas and Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry controlled food prices ahead of Eid with affordable food movement. Some commodities included in the affordable food movement are rice, cooking oil, onion, garlic, chili, and many more. The head of National Food Agency, Arif Prasetyo Adi, on Sunday said the affordable food movement is spread across 2,500 spots in the country. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Let's jump, say, dance, say, everybody say, yo, don't stop, never stop, jiwamu, ayo, semua, itu, semua, gapa. lo, pandanglah tak cenderung, jangan ragu-ragu.
Children love just screen time.
Screen time.
Yay! But sometimes they don't.
Screen time.
Okay. Changes in behavior may be a sign that our children have been exposed to inappropriate content or online bullying or predators. Pay attention to the sign. It's not too late.
Screen time.
Dad, help me. Find more ways to protect children online from your local children protection agency or visit unicef.org.
Kita hidup di NTT.